with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
What are you doing on New Year's Eve?
Well, it depends at what time, because until very, very late, I'll be working with you, a Dallas Stars game in Dallas. Maybe if the game ends in regulation, we'll have enough time to get out of the studio and go to the nearest pub and crack one open for midnight. Maybe. I don't know. It may be just a little too late.
Two straight years. Buffalo at Dallas, 8 Eastern on New Year's Eve.
Yeah, exactly. Should be done by 11.
But... May the tradition continue. Oh,
yeah,
my goodness.
And the last game of the season, April the 15th, is Dallas at Buffalo.
At KeyBank Center, yes.
It could be a big game. Who knows? I anticipate Dallas will be comfortably in the playoffs by that point. You never know. I probably would have said the same thing about the Rangers last year. I would anticipate the Rangers to be comfortably in the playoffs last game of the season. But, you know, so we got the Rangers, the first one, Dallas Stars, the last game. That's the bookends for the 82-game season this year. But, yeah, New Year's Eve again in Dallas. Well, you and I will be in studio and with our crew and maybe I'll reuse. Oh no, I don't have those hats I had last year.
Thank goodness, because they didn't fit me particularly well.
They didn't fit really well. Maybe I'll order New Year's stuff
enough
that I'm not going to show up at the Dollarama the day of the game trying to scramble to get something. So maybe I'll order something early on for us.
I feel like producer Jeff had some nice garland for us over the holiday season last year.
Over Christmas. That was good.
4-2, 4-2. Those were the scores last year between Buffalo and Dallas. The Sabres won the first go around at KeyBank in October. That was a strong start and an excellent finish by Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen. And then they fell by that same 4-2 score on New Year's Eve when Wyatt Johnston had the game winner in the back half of period number three to break a 2-2 tie. So Dallas is our team of the day today as we roll on here on Sabres Live.
You mentioned Wyatt Johnson.
Okay? Yeah.
So Wyatt Johnson signed a significant deal. He's going to be in year one of that extension. So he signed that extension at the end of the season in March.
It's a five-year.
It's a five-year deal, $8.4 million. Mm-hmm. And I get it. Wyatt Johnson had 24 goals as a 19-year-old, 32 and 33. I think they gave him a lot of money, knowing that he wasn't even two-thirds of the way done with his entry-level deal when they gave him that contract, and he had a good year last year. I think they were expecting better from Wyatt Johnson.
He had a tough playoff, that's all. His regular season was great. We talked about it yesterday. He was on that top 10 list of goal scorers from January 4th on.
Yes.
So that was part of the problem, was they had so many guys you were expecting to just keep going hot. And that's what the playoffs bring. All of a sudden, you stack a couple of zeros or ones in there, and you're not winning anymore. And that's what happened against Edmonton.
And you do that for six games, which in a regular season, you go through a couple of weeks where, and then, you know, you break free. You have like three games, you have, you know, 9 points, and you're like, okay, I'm back. But maybe you don't get that opportunity in the playoffs. And Wyatt Johnson had a very, very tough playoffs. But 8.4, I would think if I'm Dallas right now, I'm looking at Wyatt Johnson and Jason Robertson. I wish I would have saved a little bit of that for Jason Robertson. Potentially, I think he's a better player than Wyatt Johnson. But right now, they made the commitment. It's all about timing. When do you become a free agent? When do you have that money available? And when do you sign your extension?
And again, with the cap going up, I don't see this being a problem for Dallas if they want to retain Harley and Robertson next year. I really don't. I think they're in the window. They can get it done. And they have
this
plenty
has to
of
be the last year for Jamie Benn, though. It's a one-year deal at $1 million.
Well, the tricky part there is it's an incentive-laden deal. So that could eat into what they have fully available next year, right?
Yeah, there's $3 million of performance bonuses attainable for Jamie Benn. So if all of a sudden he hits all of it, let's say Jamie Benn hits all of it, $3 million more. Well, now you're getting penalized the next year. You're going to take that off your cap the next year. It may limit your ability, but Dallas is in a position right now where they're like, we have to do what we got to do. We want Jamie Benn. He's 36. He's a big part of our team. We'll give him a million base and 3 million bonuses. Maybe he makes four, but we'll roll the dice on that.
Would you imagine if they don't scale the mountain this year, that Ben then finally ends his tenure in Dallas, and would they somehow, Tyler Seguin has full control of the situation, but do you think they would earnestly look to move off of Seguin and Ben? Again, this is imagining like worst, I say worst case, and it's never a bad thing to go as far as they've gone, but what if the Stars are sitting there staring at four straight conference final ousters? They're not going to run the same thing back, are they?
I would have to see what the health.
I mean, you should, based on like, it would be amazing. Every team other than, you know, 28 others would like 28 other teams would want that.
Listen, if we had this show in Dallas, we were called Dallas Live, the Stars Live, right? Instead of Sabres Live, Stars Live. And we had people complaining in the summertime on social media about, oh, can't get over the hump and can't get the finals. And we fire everybody, fire the GM, fire everybody. I'd be like, settle down. Like, this is 3 years in a row we go to the conference finals. It's a great team, right? But I think there is expectation and pressure that comes to what you bring to the table.
Yeah.
And if you bring to the table that you're a conference finals team, you want to get to the next step. You want to win. You want to get to the finals. I would say with Tyler Seguin, Duffer, what's his health situation? He missed the better part of last
year. It's obviously pretty good based on how it ended last year.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, you let him play this year, and it wouldn't be a surprise to me to say that, oh, maybe he's not fully healthy at the end of this season. Maybe there's a long-term IR situation. And we know that
there's
going
to
be some changes to the new CBA, right? In a year from now, when it comes to long-term injured reserve, whatever. But I think there could be some wiggle room for the Dallas Stars when it comes to Tyler Seguin. I think Jamie Benn is playing his last season. I think Jamie Benn in Dallas, it's over in a year from now. They're going to have to move on from him.
Mm-hmm. Well,
would you take Jamie Benn on a one-year deal?
You've asked me this before. I would not.
You would not? Okay.
No.
I don't know that the performances are there anymore. And I really, to be honest with you, the thing that bugs me the most about Jamie Benn is, although he's a really gritty type veteran, he takes the stupidest of penalties all the time. That puts your team in a bad spot. Like, look at the playoffs this year. If there was a bad penalty to be taken, it was Jamie Benn with the Dallas Stars.
Well, somebody has to do it. Kadri used to own it for a while.
Kadri didn't take bad penalties. He took bad suspensions. Well, that's even worse.
Yeah.
Always in the same corner, always in the same way. But you're right. Like, but I don't know. I mean, Jamie Benn wanted to play another year, and all he wanted is another $1 million contract or whatnot. There'd be a lot of teams calling. It's going to be on him. But I think this is the last year in Dallas for him.
All right. That I think, unless you want to maybe one last comment on, or ranking, if you will, of Jake Oettinger, and how does he bounce back after the hurt feelings and hurtful ending to the year? And I'm making this a little more ridiculous, but it is
a fact. But I think that there's a concern for me for Jake Oettinger. And it's not so much that the coach threw you under the bus and he pulled you. It's the fact that in a game where you needed to be good,
right,
you didn't make the saves. And there was games like that during the season. I think there's a real adjustment to Jake Oettinger's game that needs to be made. He is good. He has great instincts. But he does, and the goalie nerds out there, the goalie moms, the goalie dads, the goalies out there will know, he glides out at the shooter a lot. And he locks into the shooter. And when he glides at the shooter too much, reminds me a little bit of Luukkonen when he goes and gets himself out of the net facing at the shooter so much that there's lateral plays that he gets beat on, or he's off his angle a little bit. I think there's a real adjustment that Jake Oettinger needs to make to his game to maybe get this team over the conference finals hump. But I think this is the perfect time to do it. You're getting a new coach. The team is good. Make that adjustment and see where it takes you in the first 3 months of the season.
Do you think they will be in the final next year?
Nope.
All right.
Well, and I like, oh, look, quickly, I like that team. But they did lose Mikael Granlund, who was really good with them.
For a short period
of time. Denny Dodonov, who had great depth for them, and Mason Marchment. Those three alone is significant pieces that they lost from last year.
They're pieces.
Put that on a meme, Duffer. Yeah, yeah. Go.
There's a few of them out there. Build your own Sabres schedule with the 10-game flex plan. And while Marty flexes in his studio, you can choose 10 home games this season and get the home opener included in your plan at no additional cost. So you get savings off of single game pricing, playoff priority, and more. Sabres.com/flex. Birthdays and more when we come back.